What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Sheehan Show here on SureDog.com. My name is Sean Sheehan, and I am back with my top five bets for the week in the world of mixed martial arts. And I'm actually back with more than five bets this week. I have five from UFC 299, which is a massive card coming up this week. But I'm also going to give you all my picks for PFL Europe. Now, I know some people might be watching this after that happens because it's on Thursday. So I will keep that for the second half of the show or the end of the show even. And I'll just, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you more than five picks. I'm going to give you 10, 12 picks, whatever it is. I'm going to give you my pick for the money line bet on every single one of those fights. So I'm going to do that in the second half of the show. But if you're tuning in for the UFC bets, we will do that to kick off here. But first of all, like we do every week, we're going to have to take a quick look at last week, just to keep me in check. Not a bad week last week, I would say. We hit two of our four bets. The flyer didn't hit. The flyer being Gaziev to win by submission in round one. I think everyone who bet in that fight, I think everyone who watched that fight, I think everyone who's involved in that fight would probably never want to think about it again, including if you're following this bet. So, yeah, that was not a memorable one, not one that we'll ever want to talk about again, and we didn't hit it. The other two we didn't hit, Hafin and Nafuka, you know, a tough one, and the reason why it was a tough one, the reason it was a tough one was because he's a young guy, big prospect, and I think a price that I thought might look better afterwards if he was able to get to that next level. Unfortunately, he wasn't. He'll be back again though, and I think that's not the last time I'll bet on him. So have a think about that one as we go forward in Octagon with him. The other bet that didn't hit was Makhachev inside the distance. Again, not his best display in the UFC, but we'll go again with that. The two that hit, Tankai over in ONE Championship, he won pretty well there. He dominated that fight. And then Mohamed Makhachev, who not to be confused with Mohamed Makhachev, at plus 100 over an Octagon, and he beat Makhachev Emrakani pretty comprehensively then. And as well, the other, I gave you a double, the Mohamed Makhachev double, that also hit, and I believe that was, I actually didn't write it down after last week, guys. I believe it was around 143, maybe 133 or something like that, but not a bad double, a bit of a fun double that hit last week, so we will take that. But that doesn't count to my overall record. That was just kind of a fun one. Overall record, 12 of 26 for the year so far. 1 of 7 only in the Flyers, which is not great. And if you're only tuning in for the first time, last year's full record, if I have it here, was 90 of 180, so exactly 50-50. And I hit 13 Flyers last year as well, so I was happy enough with that. If you gave me five flyers for the year now, I'd probably take it the way it's been going so far. But we did hit a plus 350 last week. And hopefully, I was surprised with the price of the flyer this week. I think we're definitely hitting our flyer this week, without a shadow of a doubt. I don't think it'll be the price I have it here with by the time the fight happens. But anyway, let's get into it. Let's get into our five bets for the UFC this week. And I'm going to start with the main event. And I'll be honest here, right? I've given this bet because I wanted to give a bet for the main event. I do not have a great bet that I really like in this main event between O'Malley and Vera. And we'll go through the prices in a second. But the bet I'm going for, I'm just going for O'Malley straight up at minus 258. Again, I obviously said I don't like giving prices like this. I don't feel comfortable giving any other bet at any of the prices. And I'll run through them here and I'll explain why. But I do think my overall thoughts in this fight are that O'Malley's going to win. We'll talk about more of that in a second, but I'm going to start with the prices in this fight and look at some of them, right, and tell you why maybe I don't like them. So there was two bets I was really looking at. I like O'Malley by decision. It's only plus 110, up as far as 130 in some places. Not a big fan of that. I was also looking at O'Malley, any other result but O'Malley by a knockout. Now they're not giving a price of that because it's not that big, so I don't like that either. I do like the fight to go a little bit longer. I was looking at the overs. Fight starts round 4, is only minus 210. The over 3.5 rounds, over 3.5 rounds, minus 225. And when you're going at that, like, I have a price almost as good as that just for O'Malley to win. I'm not liking any of those bets. Not liking any of them. Fight to go to a decision, minus 130. That was the other bet I was thinking of. I do like that. I don't like it as much as O'Malley to win just straight up. Again, okay, the price isn't massive, but I'm kind of 50-50 on O'Malley inside the distance, O'Malley by knockout or O'Malley by decision. My official pick is O'Malley to win by decision, but the more the week goes, I'm kind of leaning towards maybe O'Malley getting the finish, but I really don't know, and it's not... Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to this and go, Sean, what are you talking about? This is the bet for me. This is the bet I'm very sure of. And I hope you're right, right? Because I don't have that. Now, I have the feeling on that, on probably all the other fights, to be honest, but just not this one. I think it's a fight that I really fancy O'Malley in, but I don't have any great faith in what will actually happen. And let's maybe get into the fight, right? And when I'll say again, I have faith that no matter what happens, O'Malley will win, unless something like the first fight happens. But I've no great faith in what way it will happen and which way O'Malley will get it done. So I have two ways of looking at this fight, and I think they're both down to maybe how Cheeto fights. Because I think how Cheeto fights will actually determine how this fight goes, because I think O'Malley will kind of fight what comes to him. And as I'll say it again, I think he'll win either way or anyway. I think Cheeto has... I said he's two ways to fight. One of them I don't think we've necessarily seen successfully at a level. The other one we kind of have. And the first one is the, I like to call it the criteria fighting. So he does very little for large portions of the round, bursts into action, gets a big knockdown or hurtful blow and wins the round. We saw it against Rob Font. I think he did it 4 out of the 5 rounds or something like that, right? That's one of the ways, right? He can fight and he can win this fight. Can he actually do that against O'Malley? Has O'Malley more of a chance of doing that to him? You can argue all of that, absolutely, and I would argue that. I don't think he'll be as successful, but is that a way he could fight? I think so, because we've seen him fight like that before. Some people have said he could wrestle him. I don't think that's a big avenue that Cheetah's going to take. And the other avenue that I mentioned that we haven't maybe seen at a high, high level from Cheetah is forward pressure, put O'Malley to the sword, break him. And when I say break him, I mean like break his spirit if you can, break down his body. We saw what happened in the first fight. We've seen it in other fights as well. O'Malley he's durable is the wrong word, right? Because he can take shots, he can keep going, he's tough. I think his body doesn't stand up to it. I don't think his body is as stable to rigor, I suppose, as other people. Like you look at, say, a Darren Elkins or someone like that, they're not going to stand up. No difference in ability, but it's the ability that gets you out of that. It's the ability that saves you from that. It's the ability that, papers over that crack, if it is one. Now, is it one? I don't think that question has been answered or not, but if you're Cheetah, you attack that. You attack, you go at him, you take the air out of his sails, you kick the leg, you go forward, a lot of pressure, a lot of shots. Those are very differing game plans there that I have just talked about. But I think in either of them, I think you pressure O'Malley, you put a big pace in him. I think he has the footwork and a shot selection to make you pay for that. That if you keep doing that, it's the only thing it'll get you is knocked out. And I think the other way around, I think O'Malley will pick you off. I think he'll throw jabs from the outside, and I think he'll be pretty safe. The thing is, how safe is he? I think you need to bank a little bit of credit with the judges. If you are fighting someone like Cheetah and realise how they fought before, I think he'd be smart enough to do that too. So in the two ways I see for Cheetah possibly going for it, I think O'Malley can win in both of those ways. And that's why I'm going with O'Malley. I'm honestly not sure which of those ways it goes. If it goes the way of Cheetah kind of waiting and waiting for a big moment, I think the fight will probably go to a decision. If he goes all out and tries to attack O'Malley, let's say O'Malley goes all out and tries to attack him, I think that fight will finish inside the distance one way or another, probably for O'Malley in all cases. So I'm torn. I'm really torn. But the only thing I'm not torn on really is O'Malley winning. That's the only bet I like. I'm not going to give you a bet. I refuse to give you a bet. I don't like. I hate giving you that price, but I actually think it's a pretty good price. If you're putting in a parlay or something, that's -258 for Sean O'Malley. Okay, let's get to a better price. And this is a lot better of a price. This is a crazy price, guys. It's Dustin Poirier, straight up, +185. in some places is Dustin Poirier. The lowest he is here, I'm looking at +164, but mostly he's +170, +180, +190 actually. This is just changing last 5 minutes since I looked at it. +185 in four different places here. So he's up to +190 here now is Dustin Poirier, which I must adjust my my notes for. I think it's a crazy price. I really, really do. Like, here's the thing. We watched Santini over his last few fights, especially his last one, and we thought to ourselves that this is a new contender. This is a new guy in this division. This is a guy who can break in like a Fiziev or a Gamrat or other lads have broken in the last while, and he can take down your Poiriers and your Gaethjes and all of them, right? But, you know, and maybe he can, right? But he has to do it. He has to go in and do it before we believe, before we know he can do it. Maybe we can believe. It's no point, no harm believing before we know he can do it. I very much am on the hold on and wait to see is Dustin Poirier finished Brigade, right? A lot of people watched him against Gaethje, and I'm sure he watched himself and wasn't best pleased with how he fought. It wasn't Dustin Poirier's greatest outing. He did not fight brilliantly. He got knocked out, right? Is that the end of Dustin Poirier? Will he be the same fighter? Can he be the same fighter? That question has been answered by the bookies, and they all say no. Because that's the only way, in my opinion, that you can give Dustin Poirier this fight like that with this price. Like, I've gone back and I've watched a good bit of Benoit Saint-Denis, the Santos fight, his last fight and all of that. And look, the Santos fight, if you watch that and you watch the last fight, you get a good representation of how well it can go for him and how badly it can go for him, right? But at the same time, like, is he as good an all-around technical fighter as Dustin Poirier has been? No, absolutely not. I don't think anyone would argue that. Like, is he, you know, very good wrestler, can hit hard, can strike well. You know, I think maybe the cardio issue that he showed in that one, is that gone? It looks like he's getting better, although still he puts a lot of effort into these fights and you can only put so much in, right? But he has all these things, all good things. Right, but Dustin Poirier is one of the most slick, powerful, tough fighters we've ever seen. Especially, obviously, since he's been up at lightweight. Like, this fight, if you were to give me Dustin Poirier from 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and Saint-Denis now, I think this line is Poirier probably -250, right? Not +190. Now, why is he +190? Because, I'll say it again, because people think he's finished because of that Gaethje fight. But I'm giving this bet based on me thinking maybe he's not finished. Maybe there's a little bit left in Dustin Poirier. Now, is that the case? We'll see. We will see. But I think that price, like, that's the sort of price you look at it, right, and go, okay, if Dustin Poirier was a favourite in this fight, which he may, you know, a lot of people maybe argue he should be, that's the sort of price. Go, oh, Jesus, no, Jesus, look at the way he looked in his last fight, right? So this is how we convince ourselves, absolutely. But then, when Dustin Poirier is +190, we kind of think, well, you know, maybe an off night. You know, and he's fighting Justin Gaethje, he's one of the best in the world. Is Saint-Denis up to that? Who knows? So there is a bit of mental mathematics going on in there. No doubt about it. There is a bit of mental mathematics. But that plus, like, I was looking at it the other day, and I think it was, let me just 100% check in this, because I'm pretty sure this has moved and moved and moved. It says it started at -175. That wasn't there for too long. +124 in January. When I was looking at it last week, or there or thereabouts, it was around +144. It was +114, as I said a while back, then +144, and now out to +190. I get it. I was about to say I don't get it, but is there some old dog? Is there some fight left in the old dog? Like the Southpaw as well, you know, and we've seen, you know, we see what Saint-Denis can do from that, but what Poirier does from the Southpaw position is going to be tough for a lot of people to deal with. Again, that power, it's about how he starts. A lot of people looking at Saint-Denis wrestling as well, and I saw a few people mention it this week, like, what if Poirier wrestles him? You know, we forget about it sometimes. Poirier is a very good wrestler too, and that's a possibility. I just hope that Dustin Poirier shows up here and he looks good, because if he does, that plus 190 will be a price that people are talking about for a very, very long time. So that's bet number two. Bet number three, on a similar vein, I'm going for Gilbert Burns at plus 125. Just is there a little bit left in him? Actually, it's funny. This is maybe it's because I'm recording this just before midnight. Maybe it's because it's gone past today. Burns is actually up to plus 140 now in two places I'm looking at here. And I will again adjust that. I'm not as... Like, if you're to ask me who's going to win between Poirier and Saint-Denis, I'm picking Poirier, right? Straight up. Not massively convinced. But if you're to give me Burns Della Maddalena straight up, I'm way less confident at this price in that bet than Poirier at 190, at plus 190. I just like the price. I just like the price a little bit. Again, like the Poirier one. The Poirier one you can't ignore. This one you could ignore. But here's my thoughts in this, right? I have the angel on one side and the devil on the other side with this for Gilbert Burns. The devil, first of all, let me tell you that. I feel like I've seen Gilbert Burns at about 100 UFC shows in the last 3 months. He seems to be at every show. He's in Australia. He's in New Zealand. He's in Kathmandu. He's in Ireland. He's in Florida. He's in Las Vegas. He's at all of them. He's there. How much training is he doing? How is he staying in shape? Like, maybe someone like Gilbert Burns says, maybe they shouldn't be training, right? Maybe they should get into their camp for 8 weeks beforehand, which I'm sure he has. Just do that preparation because, rest the body and all that. And maybe I'm looking at this as a negative. Maybe I should be looking at this as a positive. Okay, but my brain tells me it's a negative. The other side of it, though, I look at Gilbert Burns' skill set, and I just think it must be very hard for anyone, like, not named Leon Edwards or the very, very top of the top to beat him. I remember I did an interview with Ian Garry on his way up, and I was asking him, one of those questions I wish maybe we could pull up again now, but like, I was asking about the best welterweights in the world at that time when he was, in cage wars maybe. And he made out that Gilbert Burns was the best because his striking was so good, his wrestling was so good, and his jiu-jitsu was so good. And it's something that's always stuck with me when we talk about Gilbert Burns. And you look at him against a guy like Jack Della Maddalena, right, who's a well-rounded fighter as well, right? But is he a very good wrestler, Jack Della Maddalena? He's a good wrestler. Is he very good? No. Is he a very good jiu-jitsu guy, Jack Della Maddalena? Not from what I've seen. He's a good, is he good? Everything we've seen from him has been good. Is he a very good boxer, Jack Della Maddalena? Yeah, I think he is, yeah. So, right. Ask the same questions for Gilbert Burns. Is he a very good boxer? Maybe you'd not, maybe you'd give Della Maddalena the advantage there. I'd say he's a good boxer. Is he a very good wrestler, Gilbert Burns? Again, I think he is most of the time. Sometimes not. Is he very good jiu-jitsu? Obviously, we know that. Although he doesn't have that many submissions over the last while. Right. Now, if Gilbert Burns can keep that fight away from being a boxing clinic for Della Maddalena, you think he should have the advantage in other places. Now, not to say he won't have the advantage in the boxing. I'm saying if it turns into that, can he keep it away from that? I don't think that's a massive ask, to be honest. I think his athleticism against a guy like Della Maddalena could play into it as well. His experience could play into it in this massive card as well. I think it's all a part of it. And I'm definitely, again, not ready to write off Gilbert Burns. Because when you look at Gilbert Burns' record, as I click into his 22-6 record here on Shardock, okay, he lost to Bilal Muhammad, who's the obvious number one contender. But he beat Masvidal and Magnini's two fights before that, and he went to that war with Chimaev before that. That was only 2022, right? He fought three times last year. This is his first fight of this year. Okay, it's about 10 months out, so he's taking that rest and recuperation and all. But like, okay, Bilal dominated in that fight, but any of those other fights, he wasn't dominated by Chimaev. Chimaev won in the end. Okay, absolutely. Beat Magny, beat Masvidal. I still think he's a very, very, very good fighter. And maybe these odds are leaning based on him being that little bit older, maybe not being the same. Okay, he's 37 years of age and all of that. I'm going to take him in this one. Right, this is our one. Okay, it might be the last time you ever take him. Same for Poirier, it might be the last time you ever take him. But I'm going for two of them. And I was, you know what I was going to do? I was going to do like five of the old, it feels like there's an old brigade here. I was going to do five of the old brigade's bet here, but I didn't do it. But there's number three. Right, the third bet is a pretty simple one for me. It's -150, which is, you know, a good enough price. I'm going for Blades Almeida over a round and a half. Really not sure who's going to win this fight. The prices, the straight up prices on it, are pretty much, there's a bit of fluctuation here, but look, -110, -110. They're both the same. This is an even fight. Blades win by knockout +175. Almeida win by knockout +550. The submission for Almeida was the other one. He was looking at +300, +1600 for the submission for Blades. I really like Almeida, but I don't have a strong feeling for him in this, and that's why I think Blades might win. That's why I think Blades might win. But if you're to ask me, like, how is this fight won by either of them? Do you see Almeida going in and landing a one-punch knockout against Curtis Blades? I don't. Do you see Blades going in and landing a one-punch knockout against Almeida? I don't. Do you see a big takedown and a ground-and-pound finish for either of them early? I don't really. Or do you see a takedown for either of them and a submission finish? I don't for Blades, maybe for Almeida. Maybe I could see that. Like, maybe I could see him getting the back and rear naked choking him. He almost did in his last fight. It was Derek Lewis, and then it turned into that snooze fest after that. But I could maybe see that. But other than that, how is this fight going to go? I think it's going to be slow enough on the feet. I think there's someone who's going to go for a takedown. I think there's going to be a clinch. I think Blades is going to try to use his strength, put his size on him, try to take him down. I think he's going to probably fail in the latter part, but succeed in the first part of it. I see long portions of clinch in here. I see an eventual takedown. But I just think this is not your normal heavyweight fight. And, you know, we have the advantage in heavyweight that, you know, everyone thinks it's going to end early and maybe the prices are better because of that. So I may be taking advantage of that a little bit. And I wonder if people agree with me. Actually, let me know in the comment section whether you do. I'd love to know how people think this fight's going to go. Because of all the other fights, I have an idea. Like, even if I'm picking someone, I can see how I can go against them type of thing. For this one, I can see how I can go against or for either of them. But I don't have a mad feeling of how it's going to go, apart from it being a close fight. Let me know your pick in that and below. Also, let me know your one pick for this week, because I'd be very interested. But the bet I'm going to go for here, as I said, the over, one round and a half at -150. Okay, we're on to the flyer of the week. And this was going to be one of my straight up bets of the week. But it's a flyer. This price, again, has fluctuated a little bit. I would be very surprised if this price is the price come later in the week. But it's +510 for Michael Venom Page to get the knockout over Kevin Holland. +510. Absolutely love it. The straight up prices. MVP is the underdog. He's up as far as +114. Kevin Holland, worst price. You call it maybe -139. Best price -130. So there is a favoring for Kevin Holland there. MVP was going to be one of my straight up bets. I love MVP in this fight. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. I think it's the Bellator thing. I think it's the age thing. I think people slightly overrate Kevin Holland as well, maybe. I think there's all of that. Give me all of it and give me MVP here. I think, is Kevin Holland stupid enough to strike with him, is the question we need to ask ourselves here. I think he probably is. And the second question we need to ask ourselves, if we disagree on that one, is he good enough to wrestle him? I don't know if he is, right? Because who really has ever wrestled MVP? Okay, Logan Storley did in a fight that MVP won. Like, MVP won that fight. Okay, the judges scored against him, but that was, MVP won that fight, right? And I think if Holland takes him down, MVP can, one, survive, and two, probably get back up. And when you get it on the feet, like, Kevin Holland is good. He can fight on the feet and all of that. But is he going to be able to hang with MVP? Is he going to, you know, is he going to get drawn in by MVP? And is he going to, you know, throw his hands more than he should? Because he has done that in the past. And if he does that, MVP is going to style on him. He's going to eat him up. And do you know what? I just can't wait for this fight. If you're listening to this and you don't agree with my bet or whatever, fair enough, right? Grand. But by God, don't hate on MVP. Just don't hate on him, right? Don't hate on him as a fighter. Go into this fight and enjoy it, right? Enjoy it. I suggest, I back MVP. Bet on him so you could get behind him and you can enjoy it, right? This is the start of it. And look, Ben Kevin Holland, if you want to get behind him as well. But MVP is one of those guys that people kind of hate on him for no reason. But he's such an exciting fighter and all. Now, okay, why do they hate him? Maybe they hate him because he stayed in Bellator so long. Maybe he fought a lot of cans. Fair enough. Look, there is some reasons. But the reasons to love him are so much bigger. And I'm a massive fan of MVP. And I can't wait to see. I'm taking all that bias out of it, right? I'm a fan of Kevin Holland as well. I like Kevin Holland. But I think MVP is very, very, very good. He's elite striking. And I think he'll win this fight. And I think he'll knock him out. And plus 5'10". I love it. I love it. Right. Let's finish up the UFC prices. And then I'll give you my bets for one championship. Kaylin Chukagan, now Kaylin Sermonara. I like her here in this, honestly, as well. I was going to give her as one of my bets, plus 170 over Macy Barber. I think it's probably going to be a close fight. The bet lines aren't in for that go to decision as well, but I would, if that's anything over minus 200, I'd probably be betting on that to go to decision as well. Again, another old guy for the long road here, Munoz. He's plus 200 over Kyler Phillips. You know, Munoz has been written out many times, and many times he's come back. I like that price. I also like Michelle Pereira in his fight with Mikhaila Shechuk at minus 150. Think that's a good price there. Gamrat, I think Gamrat's too big against Dos Anjos. That doesn't mean I'm going to back Dos Anjos, but I look at here one place, he's minus 470. That's way too big for my liking there. One of the other bets I was going to, I actually had it written in, and I changed it. Petr Yan, minus 120, minus 115, actually best price. Song Yadong, plus 100, best price. Minus 105 and some other places. Basically, pick and fight. It's one of those fights with Yan, you kind of hope he wins. Now, no disrespect to Song Yadong or anything like that, but you hope for the division, you hope for his future, you hope for everything, that Petr Yan can actually revitalize this career a little bit. And I think this is a good matchup. I think Song Yadong will fight him in the pocket. And I think Yan needs to let those hands go. Just fucking let him go and get yourself back into the picture, you know? So, yeah, that's it. The straight-up money lines in the top few fights then. If I haven't given you a minus 150, Della Maddalena, plus 125, plus 140 actually for Burns now. The biggest price or the smallest price you get in Maddalena, minus 147. That seems a bit big. We talked about MVP Holland. Obviously, MVP plus 114, best price minus 130 for Holland, all the way out to minus 139 there. Saint-Denis Poirier, plus 190 for Poirier, minus 205 for Saint-Denis and Vera. And Sean O'Malley. Honestly, I thought it'd be wider. Minus 258, plus 210 for O'Malley. Vera all the way out to plus 230. Again, I think that should probably be plus 400. Honestly, maybe a little bit more. So yeah, there you go on that. There's a couple of undercard fights as well. Joanne Wood is an underdog, plus 200 against minus 240. Moroz, I like Moroz at that price. Amal Biev is a massive minus 500 favorite over CJ Vergara, who's around plus 400. Roman Duplee, I'm surprised that he's only minus 300 over Josh Parisian. Knockout price isn't there yet, but I would like that at some stage. Right, let me give you my quick picks for Bellator Europe. We will go down through them here. Cedric Doumbé, couldn't believe Cedric Doumbé is at such a good price. He goes from around minus 143, that's the biggest one here, but he's around even money. You know, he's plus 108 in one betting place here against Basinjor Shamsurdinov, who, if people haven't seen my preview, please do check it out. He is a very good fighter, but I don't know, is he massively better than Doumbé? Or, you know, is he as good as Doumbé? I like that price an awful lot. I'm definitely taking Doumbé in that one. And especially if you give him to me at plus 108. Very easy pick in the second one. I think the Lazy King beats Jack Grant. Not a great price, minus 400. But look, we're taking that over to plus 3-0 Jack Grant. Love Mane as well. He's also minus 400 though. So you can't, you know, maybe betting that big or anything like that. Pedro, good fighter, but I don't think the plus 350 is enough to tempt me on that one. I like Yazid Cushain. He's the favourite as well. -155, good price over Capella, +130. Michelli and Najid. Michelli's the underdog there. I'm going to go for him. Like, I watched him in preparation for Peter Queeley fight, and he's, you know, he's not amazing, but I haven't seen a lot from Najid either. A bit of a guillotine, and that's about it. I'll go for Michelli in that one. Love Kazuba. This price for Kazuba, best price, -275, all the way out to -400 in another place. Kane Musa, very good fighter. I like Kane as a fighter, but +250. I don't think he gets that done there. Aaron Cartel against Marion Demetrio. Demetrio is a big favorite here at -200, +163 for Cartel. The one thing I would say about this one is I don't know, would you bank on him at that price? I think it's a tough one. I really do think it is a tough one to bank on him at that price. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, right, this guy has lost kind of all the big fights he's been in. Cartel maybe hasn't been in those that level of fight yet. But at the same time, maybe that's the way to go. Maybe that's the way to do it. But yeah, I'm gonna go for him in that one. I'm gonna go for Cartel at +163. What else we have then? Tommy Langowski is +250. I'm definitely going for Zindelli in that. Although neither of them are great, -333. I like Alex Shizov at that price. I'm surprised, honestly, he's the underdog against Scatese. Although Scatese's been around for a long time. You know, it's relatively pick'em fight there. +110. Scatese, best price, -125. Anton Bal is the underdog, yes, against Conor Hughes. Conor Hughes around -300, +270 for Bal. Definitely picking Hughes in that one. And Binder Ewan. Look, my pick is Ewan, but he's out to -430 in one place here. Definitely not betting it at that price. Like, Binder on his day is a very good fighter. He beat Ian Garry. +310, a little bit of Irish bias there. If you were to give me a bet, I'd bet in Binder in that one at +310. If you were to give me a straight up price, I'd definitely bet Ewan. If you were to give me -200, I'd probably bet Ewan, but not -400. I think that's a little bit too much, but That's what betting is all about. All right, everyone. That is it. Quick recap of the five bets for the week. O'Malley, Poirier, Burns, -258, +190, +140. I'm going for the over in Blaise Almeida, around and a half, -150. And the Florida week, +510, MVP to get the knockout over Kevin Holland. Thank you very much for tuning in. Everyone, please bet responsibly. Don't bet more than you can. Enjoy it. Leave your one bet for the week in my comment section below on YouTube. And thanks for tuning in. My name is Sean Sheehan for SureDog.com, and I'll see you all next time.